Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. We'll read verses 12 through 16 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. Second Chronicles chapter 7 verses 12 through 16. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. And let's finish on verse 16 together. Ready? For now have I chosen and sacrificed this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our country. Thank you for America. 231 years of freedom. Many of our men have given their lives, yea, even some sacrificed their eternity, of which many probably died and went to hell so we could have the freedom to be here today. Lord, please, be with our country. Lord, we won't change our country if we don't change our churches. Father, thank you for a man of God who's not afraid to stand in the pulpit to give us your truth from you. Change our hearts today. Change our lives today. May we please you so that your presence could dwell here, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this morning is this: Sparklers Won't Make You a Patriotic Christian. Sparklers won't make you a patriotic Christian. I have a box of sparklers, traditionally used at 4th of July as a way to celebrate one nation under God and our country's freedom. And I'm for sparklers. I like sparklers. But I'll tell you something. Just because on the 4th of July you pop out some sparklers and light them up, that didn't make you a patriotic Christian. Oh, there's far more to it than that. I love America. I love the United States of America. I love what this country stands for. And I love the way we stand for it. I am the flag of the United States of America. My name is Old Glory. I fly atop the world's tallest buildings. I stand watch in America's halls of justice. I fly majestically over institutions of learning. I stand guard with power in the world. Look up and see me. I stand for peace, honor, truth, and justice. I stand for freedom. I am confident. I am arrogant. I am proud. When I am flown with my fellow banners, my head is a little higher, my colors are a little truer. I bow to no one. I am recognized all around the world. I am saluted. I am loved. I am revered. I am respected, and I am feared. I have fought in every battle of every war for more than 200 years. I have flown at Valley Forge, Gettysburg, Shiloh, and Appomattox. I was there at San Juan Hill and in the trenches of France, and on the beaches of Normandy, Guam, and Okinawa. The people of Korea, Vietnam, and Kuwait know me as a banner of freedom. I was there. I led my troops. I was dirty, battle-worn, and tired, but my soldiers cheered me, and I was proud. I have been burned, torn, and trampled on the streets of countries that I helped to set free. I have slipped the bonds of earth and stood overwatch the uncharted frontiers of space from my vantage point on the moon. I have borne silent witness to all of America's finest hours, but my finest hours are yet to come, when I am torn into strips and used as bandages for my wounded comrades on the battlefield, when I am flown at half-mast to honor my countrymen, when I lie in the trembling arms of grieving parents at the grave of their fallen sons and daughters, when I lie in the arms of a child or spouse who will have to go on without one who gave their life to save the life of others, as many have. My name is Old Glory. Long may I wave. I love America. I love this country. I love the red, the white, and the blue. I love the red that stands for the blood that patriots have shed. I love the white that stands for a purity that this country slowly but surely is losing track of. I love the blue that is the color of loyalty to me. I'll tell you something. If you're not loyal to America, why don't you pack your duds and find a country you'll be loyal to? But I am loyal to America. You say, America is not perfect. I realize that. But America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. This is my country. I love the Pledge of Allegiance. I love to hear the singing of the Star-Spangled Banner. I love it at the beginning of a ball game, and we'll continue to have the Star-Spangled Banner here at the Baptist Baseball League. And I love it. I love that our coins say in God we trust, and I hope they never remove it. They're trying, but I hope they never do. I love the celebration of the 4th of July. I love the things that make America what she is. I love the election season. I love the World Series. I love to hear them say, play ball. I love the Indy 500 when they say, gentlemen, start your engines. I love the Super Bowl, the NBA playoffs, and I love corn on the cob. I love the events that have developed America's personality. I love Christmas. I love high school graduations. I love President's Day and George Washington's birthday. I love Groundhog Day. That in honor of Mike Majan, who slaughters groundhogs. Can you believe that? He just go out and shoot those things. I love Memorial Day. I love Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, and Father's Day. I love America. I love the way of America. I love McDonald's and its golden arches. I love Dairy Queen. I love backyard cookouts. I love four-wheel drives and puppies. I love America, and I love the American people. I love the Southern gentlemen. I love the Louisiana Cajuns. I love the cowboys of Colorado. I love the hillbillies of Kentucky and the rednecks of West Virginia. I even love the starchy city slickers that can't talk right. And I love Garfield the cat. I love the manufacturing of America, General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Harley-Davidson, and Hershey Chocolate. I love Coca-Cola, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks. I love Reader's Digest, Pizza Hut, and Jiffy Peanut Butter. I love America. I love the North. I love the South. I love the East. I'm trying to love the West. I love what makes America what America is. I love weddings. I love school snow days. I still do. I've been out of school for many years, but I know how young people feel about snow days, and I feel somewhat the same way, and I know the teachers do. It's the parents that tend to begin to hate them snow days. I love America. I love the Orange Bowl. I love Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I love the Special Olympics. If you cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. I'd rather be dead than red. I thank God for America and that for which we stand. This is my country, the United States of America. This is my flag, and these colors don't run. Thank God for it. I love the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and the Brownies. Brother Nash. And it is time for this young generation to stop and realize the sacrifice that many men have made to keep our country free. Not only to keep our country free, but to keep this world as a decent place as we can. If you don't understand it, you go back here and see Brother Roger Osterman, and thank God God brought him back to us safely. We still have the Osterman name alive around here. He can tell you a little bit about the sacrifice of what goes on around the world as America tries to do something to keep our world free. I like it. I love the the Army. I love the Navy. I love the Air Force. I love the Marines. Thank God. Thank God for you veterans who are around here. I love Gomer Pyle, Andy Griffith, and Snoopy has a special place in my heart. I love a 21-gun salute. I love hearing church bells. I love hearing church choirs, and I love hearing my church choir sing. And I love Musselman's applesauce. I love America. I love America's Pringles potato chips. I love Folgers coffee, good, to the last drop. I love Captain Crunch and Raisin Bran and the Lincoln Memorial. I love George Washington's I Cannot Tell a Lie. I love America's tradition, innocent until proven guilty, beyond any shadow of a doubt. I love Let the Show Begin, a Barnum and Bailey circus. I love the fact that when you go to court, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, with your hand on a Bible. That's where America started. I love Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story. And I love Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I travel this land. I travel it far and wide. I go as far north as you can go. I travel as far south as you can travel. I travel as far west as you can go. I go as far east as you can go. I travel up and down this country hundreds and thousands of miles. I travel across this great land. Folks, I must tell you, though, America needs some doctoring.
Yes, sir.
America is in need of an antibiotic. Oh, booze runs in her streets like water from a tap. Drugs are taken like bubblegum from a 1 cent bubblegum machine. Pornography comes off the presses like the daily paper in our local towns. Sodomy is being promoted as if it's now a political party. Hollywood is followed like a train, and a train engine is followed by its cars. Babies are being aborted like we kill dandelions in our front yard. The Muslim religion is growing, and is the fastest growing religion in our country, and grows like mold in a basement. Religion has corrupted and corroded like an old battery terminal in your car. Our marriages and our homes have become hell holes instead of heavenly havens. Music in America has become filthy and carnal and finds its roots in the jungle. America needs healing. She is in the medical emergency room. She is in need of a cure. America is in need of an antidote. America may find herself in spiritual intensive care if we're not careful. I love America. I like to do something about it. I don't want to sit idly by and watch America go to the dogs. I don't want to see our country go to waste. I don't want to see our country become worse and worse as time progresses. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their lands. Oh boy, that's important to me. It says there's something that I can do to help heal my land. Would you like to help heal your land? Oh, our land is injured. Oh, how the devil has come after us and our country has become ill. Notice, God mentions the healing of our land. But in mentioning the healing of our land, he did not say, get the boozers right with God and that'll heal the land. That's not what he said. He does not say, get the druggies all dried out and that will heal our land. He did not say, shut down the porno presses and that would heal our land. He did not say, set the sodomites straight and that would heal our land. He did not say, bring a halt to the whores in Hollywood and that would heal our land. He did not say, abort the killing of babies and that would heal our land. He did not say we could stop the production of the rock and roll country and filthy rap music and that would heal our land. That's not what he said. He didn't say, snuff out R.J. Reynolds and his cancer-producing cigarettes and that would heal our land. Oh, no. Though, I believe we ought to do every one of those things. I believe we ought to do something about everything.
everything that I just mentioned. But God did not say that if we would take care of the boozers, the druggies, the sodomites, Hollywood, the abortion, the wicked music, and the cigarette crowd, that that would heal our land. Evidently, that's not the answer. He says, he gives us a 6-point outline. He tells us, if you want your land healed, God said, let me tell you what to do. He said, if my people, that's the first point of the outline. He says, number two, which are called by my name, that's the second point of the outline. Number three, shall humble themselves, that's the third point in the outline. Number four, he said, and pray. Number five, he said, and seek my face. Number six, he said, turn from their wicked ways. And then the result, he said, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. See, I'll tell you what, little ones, if we'd shut down every whorehouse, if we'd shut down all the liquor stores, if we'd do that, we could turn America back to God. He said, you better start a revival in America, in your house, and in the church house. That's what'll take care of everything else. The key to healing America is not found in the White House or in a whorehouse. It's found at your house. Your house. And the church house. Hey, it's your house, more specifically. We will heal our land one person at a time. One person at a time. Hey, would God heal America based on your behavior? Ma'am? Good. Yeah. Do you stop to realize this is supposed to be your country? You know what saddens me? It saddens me that it was a previous generation that gave us the freedom and the land in which we live. And this generation is gobbling up all the benefits, but they don't seem to want to do what it takes to give the next generation in America a free country and a country where we can worship our God and a country where we can still say, in God we trust, and a country where we can put our hand on our heart and give our liberty to our God. Hey, wait, this generation better wake up. You're living off the freedoms of some people that had some backbone, some integrity, and that believed that Bible from the previous generation. Hey, God said, if you want to heal your land, there's something you need to do. We expect everybody else to keep America free. We expect everybody else to make sure that this land is healed. Let me ask you, sir, would God heal America based on you? Based on you. Why should God save America? Based on your behavior. Based on your Christianity. You say, I'll burn sparklers. Well, goody, goody for you. But nowhere in the Bible does it say, shoot off some bottle rockets and save America. Play with sparklers and be a great American. Baloney. Now, I'm for sparklers and bottle rockets. I'm for it. Go for it. Have a good time. But you better remember something while you're shooting those things off. That doesn't make you a patriotic Christian. Not at all. Hey, the key to healing America is not found in how we celebrate America's freedom. It's how we live this book. God says real American patriotism is found in that 6-point outline. You live in a land that needs healing, and the way to get healing for our land is that we follow this 6 points. You know something? I'll tell you what, men, I'll give you a box of sparklers. But Brother Bush, let me tell you something. This doesn't make you a patriotic Christian. Doesn't. You guys can set off all the firecrackers you want. I wouldn't advise you to do it, Brother Ramsey. Somebody will get here. Mrs. What's your name there? Yeah, I'll give you some sparklers. Yeah, these are great. But can I tell you something? If you have some sparklers, that's not going to make you a real patriot. Not at all. Sparklers don't make you a patriot. Fireworks don't make you a patriot. Going and seeing the fireworks don't really make you a patriot. But you know, to some people in America, that's about all they do anymore.
Right.
What happened to one nation under God? What happened? What happened? What happened to us? What are we doing tampering with we want to take the Ten Commandments down from across this country. We better be careful messing with the backbone and the integrity of justice that was placed in this country by this book. By this book. Hey, sparklers won't make you a patriotic Christian, but let me tell you this. I can tell you what will. The outline God gave us in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He starts out and he says, if my people... See, sparklers won't make you a patriotic Christian, but if you are one of his people, you're on your way to being a true patriotic American, a true patriotic Christian. What's it talking about? If my people... Talk about saved people. Saved. Born again. If you're not born again, what you ought to do is you ought to get born again so you can be a contributor to the healing of this great land. We're not talking about a works kind of a salvation. You don't save yourself. Salvation is by grace through faith. God saves you. God keeps you saved. He does all the saving. Any other teaching is heresy. It is a false doctrine. And the teaching of salvation any other way is the biggest heresy in the whole Bible. Anybody that wants to take the place of Jesus Christ, whether they think they saved themselves or not, hey, they've got a problem. And I say to you, the Lord said, the first thing that a country needs is salvation. The answer to saving America is getting people saved and getting people born again. God's people. You say, why? Well, I'll tell you why. God said the answer to getting your country back on track is getting people saved. Why? Because God's people are a powerful people. God's people are influential people. God's people, having the Holy Spirit of God within them, make wonderful community leaders and wonderful leaders of young people and wonderful leaders. That's what we need. We need saved leaders in America. We need saved politicians. You know what the answer is? We got to get everybody saved that we can. If my people, God said, you need a great big old batch of God's people. Soul winning multiplies the number of God's people. You say, I want to help save America. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Get them born again. Get them born again. You say, I don't know how to get them born again. Go to the soul winning training course tonight at 5:45 and be a contributor to saving your nation. Hey, soul winning helps us keep people out of hell. God is counting on His people to turn a nation back to God. God claims His people. He said, those are my people. My people are the key to healing that land. If a land needs healing, it's God's people that need to get involved. We've got to get all the people we can save. So God starts out this process, and He says, if you have a land that needs healing, He said nothing about sparklers. But He did say, if my people, saved people, some of you young people that enjoy the freedom of America, if you're not saved, you better get saved or you won't have an America like we've seen it. I mean, she's pretty troubled right now. My people. Then He goes on, if my people, which are called by my name, it's the second point, which are called by my name. Hey, it doesn't say anything about sparklers here, because sparklers won't save America, nor will sparklers make you a patriotic Christian. Hey, this says, which are called by my name, what's it mean? There are people that are looking at you, and they know you're a Christian. He said, if my people, that's saved, which are called by my name, meaning people know you're a Christian. They say, she's a Christian. He's a Christian. Somehow here, the saved people have made it obvious to the rest of the people that they're God's people. And people are saying, those are God's people right there. It ought to be said, people ought to know you're God's people. People ought to know, why? By the way you behave. The Bible says they were called Christians at first at a place called Antioch. All the way back where the term Christian was coined. Now, you say, I'm saved, I'm therefore a Christian. That is not true. That is not true. Saved people are supposed to be Christians, but what the word Christian means is Christ-like. Christ-like. That's what Christian means. You can be saved, but not be Christ-like. Therefore, you may wear the title Christian, but you're not living up to the name.
Right.
They were called Christians first at a place called Antioch because they were behaving themselves so much like Jesus. People said, aren't those some of those Christ kind of people? Aren't those people right there? They're living like the Christ. They're behaving like the Christ. Therefore, the term Christian developed. They started calling them Christians first at Antioch. You see, the people had been saved, and what was on the inside had made it to the outside, and people could not see what was on the inside, but they could see what was on the outside, and so these people and their behavior got them labeled like Jesus. And God said, if you want me to heal your land, first of all, we need to save people. We need them to do something. We need to get everybody saved that we can. And then what is on the inside needs to work its way on the outside so that the people that see you know who you belong to. You wear God's name. Christian. People ought to be able to tell that you belong to God. In what? In your kindness. The way you treat people. It ought to just be known. People ought to look at you and the way you behave, you ought to just learn to be kind. You ought to be kind to the people when you're checking out down at Food Lion. You ought to be kind to them. You ought to be gentle to them. The way you live, people ought to say, you know what, there's something different about you. There's something that you shouldn't be all involved in the scum of the world and all the bad attitude of the world. That shouldn't be so. Oh, not at all. Not as a Christian. See, he said, save people which are called by my name. Somebody recognizes you're a Christian. Now, how in the world do they recognize it? By the way you act, the way you dress, the way you smell, the way you behave, the way you talk. Your neighbor shouldn't be wondering if you're a Christian by hearing all the yelling and screaming and the fighting and the throwing of things. Come on! You're not helping America that way. Not at all. Said, if my people, the saved, which are called by my name, virtually, when people start noticing you're a Christian, it means you're separating from wrong and behaving yourself. So what you have here is you have that salvation of the soul, then the separation of the life. And that is exactly what America needs. America just does not need a revival of people getting saved. America needs a revival of people getting saved and those saved people straightening up their life and living right and being pure and living above reproach and stop living like the world. God said, I'm looking for a group of people that are born again, sold out, dedicated, and mean business about living holy. If my people, the saved, which are called by my name, that wear my title, that's what he's looking for. Huh. Then it says, if those people will humble themselves. Humble themselves. Notice, he didn't say anything about sparklers. I'm for sparklers. But sparklers won't make you a patriotic Christian. He said, if those people who are saved, who are separated from the world, so it is obvious to the lost that you're saved, if they will humble themselves. Now, what's that mean? If you do separate yourself, don't walk around all arrogant like you're really something. You need to humble yourself. Hey, look, you get saved, God did it. You start cleaning up your life and you make yourself clean, God wants that. But don't be arrogant about it. Don't use the cleanliness of your life as a whipping post for somebody else that's not clean yet. Be careful becoming arrogant and snotty about, you know, how clean you are. Oh no, he said, I want you to humble yourself. You get saved. You clean up your life. And you stay humble through the process. The humbleness. Get the pride out of your life. Get the pride out of your life. Some of you older Christians, you've been in church forever. You know it all. You've heard it all. And that attitude right there is what will get you in trouble. You know it all, and you've heard it all. See, you virtually just pull into the church, park your car, come in here, say, I've heard it all. Oh, yeah, know all about it. Leave. God never changes you. You somehow have it all figured out. You're as cleaned up as what you're going to be. Now, let me tell you something. If you're still alive, there's some cleaning that needs to go on in your life. You say, well, compared to who? Jesus. That'll keep you humble. Just compare yourself to Jesus. Say, well, Brother Owens, I got this lady in my Sunday school class, and I'm a better Christian than her. Well, I'm glad for you. But are you a better Christian than Jesus? He is our example. The Lord said, if my people, that's the saved, which are called by my name, they have been labeled because of their behavior, it is obvious on the outside that something took place on the inside, if they will humble themselves, in other words, if they'll get the pride out of their life, and they will become humble, God then can do something. Stop fighting for your way and want only God's way in your life. You say, what's that? That's humbling yourself. When someone hears a very clear, direct preaching from the Word of God, and they are opposing it in their life, and then they reject what they heard, you're not humble, you're full of pride. You are proud in that area. And the Bible says pride goes before destruction. You know what that means? Usually, right before you're going to destroy yourself, you're cocky, you're arrogant, and you're rejecting something the Bible teaches. You're going to self-destruct. It says, we're to humble ourselves. What's it mean? Humble yourself enough to bow at an altar.
Good.
Are you humble enough to bow at an altar? If an invitation is given at church, are you humble enough? Do you know what are happening in churches all across America? They're removing the altar calls. They're stopping it. You want to know why? They say you don't want people to feel that pressure and people will be offended with it. I'm going to tell you something. People better humble themselves in the presence of God and kneel at the altar. The altar is very clearly taught in the Bible. And the altar is a place where people remove the arrogance in their life and in front of God and everybody, they get on their face and say, I'm a nothing. I'm saved. I might be cleaned up a bit, but I'm still a nothing and I need God. Do you need the altar? Say, what's the difference? What about America? Do you care about America? Oh, but I know. You don't have sparklers. You're going to have sparklers on the 4th of July. May I recommend you use the altar at the church? That's more important than sparklers and smoke bombs and M80s. Why don't you send the devil a bomb and humble yourself and swallow your pride and walk an aisle and get on your face and beg God to do something for your country? Sparklers won't save America. He said, if my people, the saved, which are called by my name, they're obviously labeled as Christians because of their behavior, will humble themselves. Humble themselves and realize they're nothing without God. Humble yourself and just obey God like a child would. Then he said, and if they'll pray. Point number 4, prayer. Notice, he didn't say anything about sparklers. He said, pray. That's more than just for your meal. That's more than just here at church. You know, you say, well, I pray. You pray when we say, let's bow our head and close our eyes. And some of you don't even do it then. Listen to this. The last point was humility. True humility is proved by someone's prayer life or the lack thereof. Proud people don't really pray. Proud people don't pray. The absence of prayer in your life is proof you don't think you need God. Listen to it. Proud people don't pray. Proud people don't pray. Now you say, Brother Owens, give me, help me to know if I've got pride in my life. What's prayer life like? The more you pray, the humbler you are. I've got sparklers. God said, I want prayer. Say, Brother Owens, I'll tell you what. Preach it. Preach against the sodomites. Preach against the booze and the rock and roll. Preach it. Preach it. Preach it. Bring America back to God. We cannot bring America back to God by preaching against the sodomites. We will not bring America back to God by preaching against the alcohol. We will not bring America back to God by preaching against rock and roll. We will bring America back to God by you humbling yourself and falling on your face and praying. Any of you are in the mess you're in because you don't pray. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. You think you're a good American because you're going to play with sparklers. What we need in America are some Christians that pray. Pray.
And you can fool everybody else about how much you pray, but one person you won't fool. God.
A proof of pride is an absence of prayer. Write it down. Stick it in your shoe. The real you is the prayer life you, not the public you. Boy, we think we dress like a Christian. Men keep their hair like a Christian. You think, boy, look at how powerful I am. Look what everybody thinks of me. Who cares what everybody thinks of you? Let's find out what God thinks.
Why won't revival in America, Brother Owens? Let's preach against Hollywood. I preach against Hollywood. But that's not what God said would bring revival in America. It'll be a church like this, where you take personally what I'm saying right now. And you say, I don't pray. And admit it. You humble yourself. You're not afraid to use an altar. You come down here and you say, God, I am backslidden. I don't pray. I walk into church. I expect to be entertained. And then I go home. I don't change. I'm full of pride. I have no prayer life. Now that'll get us back on track in America. But you know what? In a little while, we'll have an altar call. There'll be some people, you don't pray and you won't budge. Why? You're full of pride. You're full of pride. Prayer. A real proof that you love America is a private prayer life, because the Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, that was the prerequisite of Him saving America. I'm for the building up of arms in America, just so you know. I'm for defending America. Somebody's got to be tough enough to say to somebody else, we're going to thump you on the head, you mess with us. I'm going to tell you something. You want to know what real power is. You want to know where the real power is. I'll show you.
Amen.
Oh, God. Humble yourself. Say, let's protect America. A gun is secondary.
Yes, sir.
God is primary. What will be the ammunition? The prayers of people that are saved, separated, humble, and praying. That's what the Bible says. Then it says, he goes on and says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Didn't say anything about sparklers. But I like sparklers. I'll tell you what I like the best. You know those little worm things? Ever seen those little worm things? I love those little worm things. They're like a little rabbit pellet in a bag, and you light the pellet, and it goes. And that happens, I guess, going in and coming out. But it and these little black snakes, they curl up all over. I love those things. What do they call them? Are they just snakes? I love those things. I like sparklers. I like them. Oh, boy, do I have memories. I remember the first time we lit sparklers. My dad said, don't throw that little wire on the ground. We were barefoot. I found out just a few minutes why you don't throw that little hot wire on the ground. It burnt my foot. So I love the 4th of July. So do I. So do I. I love it. I love America. But you must know, sparklers, not what makes you a patriotic Christian. So what is it? He said, seek my face. If you want your country to be blessed of God, seek my face. What's it talk about? God's will about everything. Absolutely everything. Closeness to God is what he's talking about. He wants you up close. He's talking about distant religion. Yesterday, we were having our annual church picnic. I'm sure somewhere around 600 people were here. It's fantastic. Anybody that came on the property would say, these are saved, separated, happy people. Except for that one time when Casey hit that real long fly ball and they caught it. He wasn't as happy as what I wish, but I don't blame you, Casey. They robbed you. Great hit. Well, yesterday we were having our picnic. I was carrying my granddaughter, Alexandra, around. She's caught on to this thing that people think that it's cute when she gives me a kiss. So about every crowd that I took her to, we'd go over and we'd say hi to somebody. The minute we'd get there, had a little girl, she's, oh, what, 9, 10 months old? 9 months old, she'd immediately give me a kiss on the cheek. She'd pat me on the face, but she'd give me a kiss on the cheek. She'd not learn to close her mouth. It's always an open mouth kiss, and there's always residue left over. Everywhere we go, she'd kiss me on the face. We walk over to someone new, the first thing she'd do is kiss me on the face. She was that close to me. And her grandpa was that close to her. Let me ask you a question. How truly close to your heavenly daddy are you? Are you just hanging around the things of God? See, there are people that hang around the things of God, but they don't hang around God. See, but the ones, I love the excitement around here. I love the one who creates the excitement. That's what I love. So I just love the music. I love the one for whom we're singing the music. There's a difference. There's a difference. When's the last time you climbed into the arms of your Heavenly Father and you kissed Him on the cheek? Oh, no. Don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about when was the last time He kissed you on the cheek, but His love and His depth for you is incredible. Say, oh, God loves me. Yes, He does. I'm talking about, do you love Him? So I love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him. You know, love is primarily in the Bible a verb. That means you do something to prove that love. Love. He said, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face. He's talking about a closeness to God. He's talking about real spirituality. Let me ask you a question. God is our witness, not me, not your wife, not your husband. How truly spiritual are you? Honestly, in the balcony, look at me while I'm preaching. How truly spiritual are you? How about it? He said, what'll save this country is you becoming real. He said, you're seeking My face. In other words, you're close up tight to Me. You're not just playing the Christian game. You're not just showing up down at the church and let everybody else truly be the spiritual ones. Talking about the people that truly love Him. All the way in the depth of their soul. His will is their every desire, every moment of every day. You're real. You're real. And though I don't know that everybody would know that you're real, but God knows you're real. You can fake me out, and I can fake you out. But I'll guarantee you, I can't fake God out. And neither can you. And you may think that you have been. But He said, you want to turn your country back to God? You get people saved. You get them separated. You get them humble. You get them falling on their faces. You get them so up close to God that it's like carrying a grandbaby in the arms of God, kissing the face of God in nearness and closeness and intimacy. And God said, something's going to begin to happen. Something will happen in that country. But you just watch all the TV religion and all the garbage that goes on with it. That's not reality. Oh my, what we're doing to America. And then finally he says, seek My face and turn from your wicked ways. What's it mean? He said, hey, you get up close to God, you're going to want to get rid of your sin. You're going to find out God's better than booze. You're going to find out God's better than getting high. You need an old dose of God and you get rid of the drugs. You become intimate with God. You won't need to go out there and become intimate immorally. You'll find a fulfilling of a closeness to a God that loves you. He said, turn from your wicked ways. What does it mean? Repent. Repent Repent of what? Repent of your bitterness. Repent of your hatredness. Repent of your filthiness. Repent of the garbage you're putting into your head. Repent of the way you act and live. Repent of your thievery against God. Repent of your immorality. Repent of your unkindness. Repent of your worldliness and your hatred. Repent of living like the devil. Repent of all your excuses. Because when you get up close to God, you're saved and you've done what you can to get things out of your life. And you go to prayer in a humble way. You say, God, I want you more than I want anything. Suddenly you'll start saying, I've got to get everything bad out of my life. I've got to straighten up my life. You say, I've got a malfunctioning family. You have a malfunctioning Christianity. That's what it is. Somebody is not humble. Somebody is not praying. We solve the problems of Christianity when we follow 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then they'll turn from their wicked ways. He said, and here's your answer. Then will I hear from heaven. We'll all sing, God bless America. God said, you ask me to bless you? Repent! People everywhere tomorrow will sing, God bless America. Sparklers and Budweiser. He said, you do what I say, then will I hear from heaven. Forgive your sin and glory to God. Heal your land. Say, what's America's hope? That old black book. And Christians that obey it on and off the property. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their lands. See, Brother Owens, I love America just like you said you love America. The proof's in the pudding. It's not in your words. It's not in your sparklers. It's in your life. You're saved. You're separated from the things that will keep God from blessing our country. You're humble about it and realize you're a nothing and He's everything. You understand that it's not just sparklers. You understand that you need to pray. And you're as close to the face of God as you can get. Intimate with Him. You've taken the sin out of your life. And you can help us turn America back to God. If you're here today and you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. Your first step to helping us save our country. Get saved. Get saved. There's some of you, one of the reasons why our country's going down the tubes is because your Christianity is. There's some people in here, you've been a Christian long enough and saved long enough, you shouldn't be living the way you're living. You're living in direct opposition to Christian behavior. And you're destroying our country. This is my country. The United States of America. One nation under God. But sparklers won't make you a patriotic Christian. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.